You can also, in the on your phone or your tablet, you can go to HardinValleyChurch.com/app. It's APP, and you can download that. Just click on the notes there, and you can follow along. A lot of folks do that. I think we've got 80 or 90 folks using the app now, and so we appreciate all of you who do that and like that. And again, you can see all the social media, you can see all YouTube. It's all one place. You don't have to have a bunch of subscriptions and things like that, and have a bunch of different apps. You can see what's going on, see the things that are happening, and everything's good there. So we're glad and appreciate each of you. Thank you for being here today. If you're willing and able, stand with us. We read God's Word together. We're going to read a lot of verses. We're not going to read all those standing, though. So we're in Luke chapter 1, look at verse 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. He has visited and raised up." Excuse me, he has visited. You've got Luke chapter 1 in yours. I'm in Luke chapter 2. I got a typo there. Sorry. Go over to Luke chapter 2, verse 22. There we go. Luke chapter 2, verse 22. I was like, that looks familiar, but that's next week. Verse 22, or last week, rather. Luke 22, "When the days of her purification according to the law of Moses was accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, set apart, to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, the same was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel." So unique phrase there. Unique phrase. It's found a time or two in the Old Testament here, and it's interesting that Simeon uses it. "And the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, was upon him," verse 26, "it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." God wanted to make sure that people knew Jesus was coming. "And he came by the Spirit in the temple when his parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom law. Then he took him up in his arms, blessed God, and said, 'Lord, now lettest your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people, Israel.'" You can be seated. Let me keep reading. "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through his own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.' And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser, and she was of great age, and they lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity." Married a long time, widow now. Verse 37, "She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayer day and night." The Greek is interesting there. The language is interesting there. It's almost like they couldn't get rid of her. I'm not married anymore. I've got time to serve the Lord full time, and I like that attitude. "And she was coming in that instant, gave thanks again," "gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for," here's our word, "redemption in Jerusalem." Let me pause there. And I want to talk about that second gift I'm highlighting this year. Not just hope, but forgiveness. And so let me introduce you to one of these amazing gifts there, the gift of forgiveness. Would you pray with me one more time? Father, I pray right now that you'd meet the needs of our heart. I pray as we show the relationship between hope and forgiveness, as we show all the things that come through the incarnation, through the fact that Jesus was born, I pray that it would fill our hearts with wonder. And I pray for those who have trusted you as Lord and Savior and asked you to forgive them of their sins, they've asked you to help them turn and to live differently. I pray that this year would be one of great worship. And for those who are on the outside looking in, for those who have not yet stepped across the threshold of faith, they've not committed their life to you, I pray that today would be that day. I pray that today you would change their life. And I pray you'd help us. Help us, Lord, not to get involved in Christmas and holiday and decoration and all the stuff and miss you. And Lord, help us not stop worshiping you when it's January. So work in our hearts and our lives right now. Speak to us. Holy Spirit, use me and fill me. I pray you help me speak clearly, enunciate well. And I pray it be so obvious you're preaching on the inside while I'm preaching on the outside. I pray in Christ's wonderful and holy name. and amen. Amen. There are lots of things that go well together. Andrea and I were kind of those crazy people. My name's Rodney, her name's Andrea, so we had a daughter, so we named her Allison, and we had a son, we named him Riley, and that's just how narcissistic we were. We just kept the initials together there. Some folks do some other things, but there are things that kind of work well together. Maybe you can help me out a little bit here. Help me out a little bit. If I say a couple things, if I say salt goes with pepper. That's like five of you. The rest of you is asleep, and I haven't really got started preaching yet. Death and taxes. That's a certain age group there. There we go. Certain age. Spaghetti and. There we go. And a peanut butter and. Batman and. We're getting a little bit for the older ones here. Bird and. There we go. There we go. And then let's see. I'll speak to the really younger ones here. So Taylor and. Yeah, there we go. All right, I got a few of you. The rest of you are Googling that, and you're appalled. You're absolutely appalled. For those of you who grew up poor, bread and butter. There we go, bread and butter. I've got a few. I got a couple. For all the artsy people in here, Gilbert and Sullivan. Ooh, more patrons of the arts than I would have thought. Very good. And then for those of you who look like me, bacon and... There we go. All right, we're in good shape now, and we're well. When we talk about those, and we've got some pairs of those kind of things here, we've got Simeon and Anna, and forever and ever interchange and intertwine. The temple is it's a magnificent building. The Solomon's Temple would have been a magnificent, and then Herod's Temple here would have been Herod's Temple. Just acres and acres. Imagine if you've ever been to any place, if you've ever been to any giant airport, you've ever been to a place that like a IKEA or something like that, it just goes on and on and on. And so for the fact that they would have run into each other, maybe even knew each other, we don't know, but they are always linked together now in the scriptures because Anna hears him talking and goes, "That's the Christ child," and she burst in, and she kind of joins in with the praise and with the worship that's going on here, and it's fascinating. And also, there's another pair that's going on here, and that's Christmas and gifts. Because Jesus came, and again, if you don't like the word Christmas, that's fine, or if you're not crazy about the idea, but get behind the incarnation. Get behind the fact that God was made flesh, and that God dwelt among us. And that God came to us. And I want to explore that today. And I want to help you see the different, see the connection there, if you would, between hope and forgiveness. And we said last time that looking at all of this, that it was really a hopeless situation when Jesus came. Been 400 years, there'd been no prophet, no word from the Lord. And then there was that echo, and generation after generation. And the Pharisees had come in, and they had kind of allied with Rome, and they'd gotten really wealthy, and they were very corrupt. You had the Sadducees that came along, and they said, "Hey, you're not interpreting the scriptures correctly." And so there was that huge wedge there, and they said, "When you die, you die. There is no resurrection." Can you imagine anything more hopeless than this is all that there is? Someone says, "I don't understand why people hurt themselves." And I really do. If you think this is all there is, if you think there's no judgment, you think there's no resurrection, you think there's no hope, there's no heaven, there's no hell, then what's the point of life? And again, that's that whole Nietzschean kind of thing there, where life is just a cosmic kind of joke. That graffiti that was famous graffiti that was found scritched on the back of the walls there at Harvard University, that life is a sexually transmitted terminal disease, that kind of a bleak outlook that we see here. We don't catch that from the scripture. We see that God cared and he sent two babies, one John the Baptist and the other the Christ child. And they would answer the question of hope, and it would be absolutely hope out of darkness. And we jump into here, and we start seeing that illustrated, and we're going to end up with forgiveness. I'm going to see that. So I want to give you some quick notes here, and I want to end up, and I want to spend some time. We may go to Galatians, and I want you to kind of see, I want to see in like three verses, the way that they would have sung about this, kind of a doxology. I don't know if I'll get there, because I want to be a good steward of the time and all with folks working in the back, but if we can, I want to do that. So you ready? Or would you like to see this hope illustrated? Would you like to see redemption accomplished? Would you like to see the great gift of forgiveness from the birth of Christ? If you would, say amen. All right, your Bibles are open there. Your apps are open there. So let me walk you through it. Let's illustrate it. The cross, the incarnation makes forgiveness possible. And the cross makes forgiveness complete. It's not in your notes, but I want you to write it down. I added it later, and I just didn't want to go back and reprint everything. Nod at me if you're glad that the preacher wasn't lazy today. And I gave you this anyway. All right. The incarnation makes forgiveness possible. And the cross is going to make it complete. The incarnation, Jesus being born in the manger, the Christmas story. It's estimated that 60 to 70% of folks who attend church think they can get the Christmas story right. That number goes down to about 19% for folks who don't go. And by the way, you catch that everywhere you go, right? You got elephants, you got soldiers, you got drummer boys, you got all kind of weirdness associated with Christmas that doesn't have anything to do with the birth of Christ. Now, we've kind of added it, made it its own thing, and we're missing that. One of the things here, we need to illustrate that. We need to make sure that we're understanding that. Anna's been hoping for redemption. Simeon has been hoping for redemption. We're introduced here, particularly with Anna. Look at verse 36. She was called a prophetess. She was older. She'd been a widow all this time. If you translate her name, it goes back. You could say her name was Hannah. Hannah. She is devout. And so she has tragedy in her life. Don't miss this. She has tragedy. Her husband of her youth passes away. Instead of being bitter with God, she decides to devote herself to the Lord. I love when folks, man, when they do this. I've told the story before. Gene Williams' dad, when he retired from a chemical company there in eastern North Carolina, and he'd been there with him. They'd taken good care of him, made a good living, put back money. He could do whatever he wanted to. They could have traveled the world. They could have done anything they wanted to. And Gene's dad said, I can hardly wait. He said, my last day is on Friday, and Monday morning at 8:30, I'm going to join the others at the church. And I'm going to do anything that needs to be done. For the first time in my life, I can serve the Lord full time. And until Gene's father passed away, that's exactly what he did. And Big Gene, as they called him, Big Gene did that. I love that thought. When I am free from some of this stuff, when I am retired, when I have my obligations, I don't want to do less for Jesus. I want to do more for Jesus. That's the character of this woman here. And so she is there. She is doing and serving and worshiping the Lord. She is waiting for the Lord. Get what she says. They worshiped night and day. And I want to time out just for a second. Would anybody in here say that about you? And I'm not bashing you in the head. I'm thrilled to death that you give 90 minutes once a week to the Lord. I'm thrilled for it. I'm thrilled. And some of you are here for our small groups at 9:30, and some of you are Wednesday night. Man, I'm there. But I love that expression. They described her. They didn't say she was an old lady. They said that's a widow lady. And here's what she does with her time. She worships the Lord day and night. Such a beautiful thing there. She's truly a widow, and she's been looking for the Savior. She's been looking for the Messiah. One of our acquaintances, he comes through Knoxville pretty often. I got to meet him and he has a ministry where he tries to talk to, particularly to Hollywood stars, to musicians. And the way he's figured out to do this is you can go buy a ticket to some of these conventions, these Comic-Cons, and then you get a few minutes with him. And so he's figured out, I'll get a few minutes with him. So he gets a Bible, puts her name on it. He writes him a letter. And then he's tried to research their background. And so he goes up to him, and so he gets to talk to him. Some of them he's got to talk to many times. Some of the folks even that have recently passed away that were kind of star, kind of these Hollywood stars, you know, they let him know that he'd made an impact in their life and just an amazing kind of a neat ministry. And when he's not doing that, he serves at a church about 45 miles from here. And so anyway, just a fascinating guy. And he's gotten to talk to some different ones lately, and he shared the story. He said, He said, I worked it out where I'd meet with this guy, and he'd given these interviews that if he could meet with anybody living or dead, he wanted to meet with Jesus Christ. He wanted to ask, is it true? He said, that's everything. That's everything. The actor's name is Paul Rudd. That's everything. If he is who he says he is, that changes everything. So he got him a Bible, put his name on it, got him a book, got him a book by from Lee Strobel about who Jesus is, and a very approachable book, and gave it to him. And he said, I was talking to him. He said, I was trying to say, hi, you've heard this. You've said this a couple times in interviews and all these kind of things. And said, Rudd looked at him and said, I hope there's a book in that bag that gives me the answer to the question. Hey, and I got news for us. We've got a book that gives the answer to the question. And she's waiting, and he's waiting. We get in our head sometimes that people who are unchurched or who are lost or who are not followers of Christ, whatever you want to call them, spiritual needs, that they're just hostile truth. And sometimes they are. Sometimes in their sin, they're just hostile truth. But somewhere in their heart, they're longing. They're longing. Whether it's cracking open a bottle of wine at 10 in the morning, man, they're trying to fill a hole that no alcohol can fill. Whether it's hopping from bed to bed and person to person, there's not enough porn streaming in the world to fill the hole in the heart that was created for Christ and Christ alone. And though she is here, she's devout. Will the Savior come? When is he coming? She's there. The angel tells Simeon, hey, you're not going to, or excuse me, the Lord tells Simeon, you're not going to die till you see the consolation of Israel. You see the comfort of Israel. And he's there. He gets the message. Anna overhears and she burst in. Wow, this is amazing. God has come. He has inhabited from eternity. He has inhabited time and space. He is exactly what we needed. She was worshiping and waiting while she was hoping that Christ would come, that the Savior was come. And then there's this hope expressed. This hope expressed. You still with me? Say amen. Hope expressed. Listen to what she says. Looking for the redemption, the ransom, verse 36. In Israel, I expressed to you last time that the word ransom is a word that we would translate or transliterate as lutron. It's a payment. It's a payment. And this hope expressed here, and she uses it in particular because we need to be forgiven. We need to be forgiven. Let me illustrate a little further for you if I could do that. And I introduced it last time. Slavery and people selling themselves, really. Again, it wasn't just you were a captive, and that's always what we get in our picture. But people would say, hey, I need passage here. I'll sell myself for 3 years. I'll learn the trade. I need to go from here to here. I can't afford the ship and the passage, so I'll do this. More than a little common kind of thing. Somebody wanted to be a blacksmith. Somebody wanted to be a silversmith. They would do this. And then sometimes they were in debt over their head. There was the negative aspect to this. They were in debt, and so they'd be sold off. This man will work 7 years to pay for the debt. Somebody would buy the debt, would pay that off. His debt was canceled. His debt was, and so this would be how it works. It's really kind of barbaric sounding to us. We just call it student loan debt now, right? We go somewhere for 4 years. We owe $120,000. And we call it a little different now. But we have this. And so this word, they were very, very comfortable with the redemption, but it had a specific application because we were in bondage to our sin, and that's that first one. Redemption always implies bondage. Every person is born enslaved to sin. I love when a good, kind somebody says, we're all God's children. And I, depending on the social situation, will go, nope. The Bible says we're all children of the devil. We get to become the children of the Lord when he saves us, redeemed us, and we change families. But we all start off in the other family. Nobody got to teach a baby how to sin. Nobody got to teach a toddler how to sin. Nobody got to teach a child how to sin. Nobody got to teach you and I how to lie. We are excellent at sinners. Someone says, I've kept the law, and I've been a pretty good person. No, you've been an awful, terrible, rotten person. We're not good at law keeping. We're good at law breaking. And that always unnerves people. And I tell them, I'm excellent at breaking the Ten Commandments. I am fantastic. I'm fantastic. I'm fantastic at giving in to temptation. I'm fantastic. If it wasn't for the power of the Holy Spirit, I'd be just the worst guy you'd ever know. There you go. But God has changed me, and he has broken the chains of sin. Someone talked about, hey, in counseling, and Brandon's taking some classes, things like that in counseling. Talk about, so there's a view of counseling that you need to rewire your neural pathways. It's probably very helpful. But what you need is the power of God into salvation, who can break the power of sin. And you no longer are a slave to sin. You've been brought out, and you are made free unto righteousness. You're glad that God has changed your life. Say amen. So everybody you meet today is born enslaved. They may be enslaved to pride. They may be enslaved to arrogance and haughtiness. It may be a bottle. It may be a pill. It may be just lying. It may be enslaved to their own good works. And they're in their arrogance. Say they don't need God. Redemption implies bondage. Secondly, redemption implies cost. Cost. There's a cost to be paid. The 9:30 classes talked about holiness. And boy, if you weren't able to be here, man, I hope you can make the time to be here. 9:30, and they were talking about holiness. And that passage, great passage in Isaiah. And I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And Isaiah's response was, woe is me, a curse to me, for I'm undone. I am disintegrating. My integrity is unraveling when I see God for who he is. That's why we use the Ten Commandments around here. We're talking to somebody about being lost and about coming to Christ. You ever told a lie? You ever looked at a woman or a man with lust? You ever looked with something with covetousness in your heart? You ever been so angry with someone you wanted to kill them? Just been angry? All these things. You ever use God's name in vain? Again, we've raised two generations of young people think it's okay to say OMG and oh my God. We eat a pretzel and we say, oh my God, we blaspheme the Lord all the time. We think nothing about it. We are guilty of breaking his commandments all the time. It doesn't bother us. We've learned to silence the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We're dopamine fiends with our social media and our addicts, and we don't know how to sit still and do those kind of things. We are here and we have forgotten, man, that there is a cost to be paid. Because why? Because we are guilty before a holy and a righteous God. Doesn't matter if you're better than me. Doesn't matter if you're better than your neighbor. That's not the standard. The standard is the Lord himself. I've suggested and reminding you that I'm not on the slave block of sin and owing something to the devil. The devil's in the same bad spot I am. He's condemned and doomed, except he has no hope. He is sealed in his choice forever. You and I still have that volition, that opportunity, and we are here. And so Christ comes, and he's going to pay the price. And we have infinitely offended an infinite God. We use funny little expressions. We say, you'll spend forever in hell trying to pay for your sins. Like we can calculate something eternity-wise. And God, 6 hours one Friday on the cross, paid the price that you and I paid. It is the intersection of justice and grace. It is the meeting place of mercy. It is where we come and we go, that should be me. But because God, being infinite, could infinitely satisfy an infinitely offended God. He could pay the penalty for my sin, and I can accept what he did for me on the cross of Calvary. All that happens because Jesus came. And the cost had to be paid. So I can do well. Every now and then I'll see someone and they'll be sliding the beads on their arms. You can roll beads on your arm, on your wrist, forever. That's not enough. You can empty your bank account today for the Christmas offering. That is not enough. I'm sure in Japan there are places that people go up into the groves and the different areas. The Brazilians have that astonishing custom that always unnerves me. They'll place the stanchions 12, 13 areas of Jesus' passion. And they'll find a rocky outcropping. To show your devotion, you'll crawl on those jagged rocks from place to place to place to show your devotion. You could do that every day of your life till your knees turn into bloody stumps. It is not enough. It is not what you and I can do. It is the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. It is the one slain before the foundation of the world, one who was born to die. And that hope expressed that is there. The price has got to be paid. You can try and pay it, but you'll spend forever in hell trying to pay. Or you can accept what Christ has done for you. And then forgiveness. He said the redemption of Israel. Redemption always implies ownership. It always implies ownership. Came in our house the other day and we are those people. We use the front door. We don't use it much. We have a back door, I think. We don't use it very much either unless we're going outside to barbecue flesh. And just don't go out that back door very much. Should, don't. Gets a lot of shade. Anyway, and we've got a row of trees on the side there, and so it's always shady. It does grow stuff. It grows mold. And it's fine. We know how to kill it, and we're there. But the front door. So we're always coming in through the garage door, hanging a right in the garage door, and then we're immediately in the kitchen. The kitchen's where I want to be anyway. And we're in the kitchen, so we're right in there. And I came in having a box. I was trying to set it in. We got one of those movable bar, you know, island, whatever that thing's called, and was setting it down. And Riley had his lunch pail there. And I set it down and moved it over, and he said, "Dad, come on." And I said, "Riley, my house." And put your lunch pail outside. And my house. You live here. Anyway, he went, "Fine." Moved over 3 inches. That's all bluster, because he's taller than I am. He's bigger than I am. He's stronger than I am. That's all bluster. He could take me. He could take me. So far, he has not whipped his father. But anyway, my house. Some of you pulled that before, right? My house. My house. I would not suggest you do it with your spouse. If you do, don't come to me for counseling. I told you not to do it. Jesus saves us. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which temple you are? For you are not your own. For you've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. You are not your own. You have been bought. You belong to someone else now. You belong to King Jesus. King Jesus. It's so funny, I do my physical therapy, and depending on where I'm at, depending on where I'm at, if what time of the day I'm doing it at, there'll be folks in there, and they'll be looking for a date. And they had to put up a sign. We're here to help you accomplish your goals, not helping you find someone to go out with. Quit hitting on our customers. And I read that going. I said, I'm trying to be friendly and invite people. And I found a silicone band. So I got a wedding ring here, and I've got a band on here. And I thought about just getting a T-shirt going. I'm trying to talk to you about Jesus. I'm not asking you on a date. I don't know if I'm going to do that or not. I think that'd be even worse. Worse to wear. I think most everybody's figured it out. And those kind of things. But when we're here, man, you belong to the Lord. You've been redeemed. You've been bought. You belong to Him. Redemption implies these things. So what do we do? What do you do? Listen up. That's forgiveness. What do we do? How do we do between the now and the not yet? What do we do when life is off? What do we do when we struggle? What do we do? I think we can get our keys here from Anna and Simeon. I think we can figure it out. Look at verse 28. He blessed God. Verse 37, Anna was worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. You worship. Redeemed people ought to worship. Redeemed people shouldn't have to be begged to worship. Shouldn't have to be cajoled. Shouldn't have to be bribed. Shouldn't have to have green ink slide on your fingers, tearing the money out of your hands when it's time to give. Shouldn't have to go, "Well, I hope the sun will come out. I hope it's not raining. I hope whatever." She was night and day. Couldn't keep her from the house of God. Man, I love that. Grab hold of hope. Because I've been forgiven. The Redeemer has come. He was born. Everything is different because Jesus came. Now worship. I love that. You open your Bible or you open up your tablet or your app and you see the reading. Those of you who are doing the D groups, the F260. It's not a chore, man. I get to do that. I read about one of the church father writers, Thomas Aquinas. He said before he would write, before he published a sermon, he would have to go and get apart and weep it out. Because he need to make sure his heart was right before he put on paper the things of God. Worship. I don't know, you can't listen to any secular music, but boy, that's not helping you worship too much. Find something that elevates your soul. Start on Saturday night, worship. Again, like at our house, crank up the gospel music on Sunday morning. Worship. Listen to it. Worship. They witnessed. Verse 32. Your Bible is still open. Look at verse 32. He calls Jesus a light to lighten the Gentiles in the glory of thy people Israel. Jesus came for us, for the world. I'm glad he came to be a light to the Gentiles. I'm glad he came as part of the one nation, the one people Israel, and out of Israel, all nations would be blessed. I am so glad it is to be a witness. She has been speaking, verse 38, Anna has been speaking about Jesus to everyone. By the way, if you get the order backwards, you won't do it. Witnessing is a lot easier if you've been worshiping. And it's ridiculously difficult if you haven't. If you're dry, barren, gonna do. I don't know how you witness. Never been easier in our lifetime to receive good teaching. The scriptures in any variety, any fashion you want, any language you want, any translated language you want. It's just unbelievable. I get ads all the time. $10 a month, access to thousands of books. Never been easier. Never been easier to invite someone. Never been easier to say, hey, you know, watch this YouTube short our church puts out. What do you think about that? That's why I love Dennis. I like his name being mentioned. That's what I like about Dennis. We'll put a short out, and he'll be working on a roof. He goes, God, nowhere to go. He'll walk up with his phone, watch my bald preacher, and he'll make them listen to him. By the way, he'll send me a picture, his open Bible, empty coffee cup, where he just finished up Genesis. See, when you worship, witnessing's not too bad. And then you wait. We're not waiting for the first coming of Christ. We're now waiting for the second coming of Christ. The Bible says there's a crown of rejoicing. Those who love is appearing. Maybe today, Lord. Maybe today. By the way, because he came the first time is absolute proof that he is coming again the second time. And just the same way you believe that, you can believe this. Because he is coming, I can have hope. Because he is coming, I know that the forgiveness will be accomplished. I will get the new body. I will finally be free from all the consequences and curses of sin. And everything will be made new. The redemption will be accomplished. All because of Christ. See, there's no crucifixion. There's no cross. There's no resurrection. None of that happens unless he comes. And they saw it. They knew it. Jesus provides everything that we need. The captives are free. Those who have been in bondage are now released. The price has been paid. The stamp has been affixed. Everything has been accomplished. Everything has been accomplished. Everything is ready. The redemption is done. You and I can be forgiven. All because Jesus came. What a gift. The gift of hope. The gift of forgiveness. Redemption. Pray with me right now. Father, Lord, my heart is just so overwhelmed, Lord, as I've thought about this these weeks. And my heart is just so full. Lord, for those who say they know you, who've not been bothered by the fact that they've not walked with you this week, would you convict them right now? Would you pull them to yourself?